From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. The U.S. Supreme Court decided Thursday to send a lawsuit over Idaho's abortion ban back to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they said, for now, Idaho hospitals can perform abortions in medical emergencies. It's known as the EMTALA case, and the justices did not rule on the merits of the lawsuit, which means the case will continue to be argued in a lower court, at least for now. So joining us is Peg Dougherty, Deputy General Counsel for St. Luke's Health System. She's here to talk about how this will impact patients and doctors in our state. Peg, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Gemma. I'm happy to be here.
So Peg, can we just give folks a quick refresher? Can you tell us what EMTALA is?
Sure. Yeah, EMTALA is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. It is a federal law that applies to hospitals who participate in Medicare and have dedicated emergency rooms. And what that law says is that any patient who presents to an emergency room with seeking treatment is going to receive a medical screening exam to determine if they have an emergency medical condition. And if so, then that emergency medical condition must be stabilized under the law. And just to give you a little more explanation about what that means, an emergency medical condition is defined as symptoms of sufficient severity such that in the absence of immediate medical attention would be expected to result in placing the health of the individual in serious jeopardy or serious impairment to bodily functions or bodily organs. And the stabilizing treatment that must be provided is a treatment that with reasonable medical probability without it would cause the condition to materially deteriorate. So a physician must provide the appropriate standard of care, stabilizing treatment to stop any deterioration of the condition that the patient presents to the emergency room with.
So, Peg, with that said, how is Idaho's abortion law impacting St. Luke's healthcare system, and we should say other healthcare systems as well in Idaho, before the Supreme Court decided to move this case back to the lower court on Thursday?
Sure. So, there is a conflict between Idaho's abortion law and the requirements of EMTALA in that Idaho's abortion law only allows performing an abortion to prevent the death of the pregnant woman. EMTALA requires stabilizing treatment to address the health or serious impairment to bodily functions and bodily organs of a patient. So when a patient presents to a pregnant patient presents to an emergency room with complications that will impact their health, Idaho's abortion law only would allow an abortion if it was to prevent the patient's death, not to protect their health. So that was the conflict that existed prior to the court lifting the stay of the injunction, allowing Idaho's emergency rooms to perform abortions to protect the health of a pregnant patient in emergency circumstances. So there's a breathing room. Excuse me, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so can you explain to those of us, many of us who are not attorneys, what the court actually did on Thursday? Because as I said, when I was introducing you, they didn't really decide the case, but Idaho can now perform emergency health care, and sometimes that means abortion, since they made whatever decision they made yesterday.
That is correct. So the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court was to not decide the merits of this case. In other words, the case that was brought to the U.S. Supreme Court, the question was whether or not the federal law preempted the state law. Did EMTALA supersede or prevail over Idaho's strict abortion law? That was the question before the Supreme Court. What the Supreme Court decided to do was to say, we are not going to decide this. We are going to return the case back to the lower court. So in this case, it is the Ninth Circuit Court for a decision on that question. And what the Supreme Court said is that it was improvidently granted. So they made a decision that they should not have taken up this case, that it was too soon in the legal process, that all of the litigation in the court below had not fully fleshed out the issue. And they also, they didn't only dismiss it as improvidently granted, but they also lifted the stay on the injunction that Idaho's federal district court had placed on Idaho's abortion law back in August of 2022. And that injunction stops the state from enforcing the strict abortion law as it applies to medical care required under EMTALA.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, this means this is just a continuation of the case, correct? Because it's been kicked back to the Ninth Circuit?
That is correct. We will now wait to hear from the Ninth Circuit on how it is going to handle this case, whether it is going to entertain further briefing. Is it going to schedule oral argument? Those are the kinds of procedural questions that will be on the table that we will await the Ninth Circuit to decide. But yes, it is correct to say that the question is still pending. The question whether or not federal law preempts state law is still pending. We don't know the answer to that yet, but we do know that we can apply EMTALA to all patients who present to the emergency room, including patients who are pregnant with complications.
So will this probably mean that the case will again be appealed back to the Supreme Court at some point? Or can the Ninth Circuit make a decision that solves whatever issue there is, that they say, this is the law, we move forward? Or even if they make a decision, can it be appealed again to SCOTUS?
It absolutely can go back up to the Supreme Court. Depending on how the Ninth Circuit decides the case, the either party will still have the opportunity to petition for the Supreme Court to hear it.
So with that said, Peg, I am curious about what this means right now then for a patient who presents an emergency room and there is a pregnancy complication. That means it is impacting the health of the mother to the point that the proper care is to perform an abortion. What happens now, starting today in Idaho?
If a pregnant patient presents to an emergency room and their pregnancy has those kinds of complications that place that mother's health in serious jeopardy, and the medical screening exam determines that an abortion is the recommended treatment, today, the provider who is doing that screening exam and caring for that patient will be able to explain to the patient their recommendation that abortion is the recommended treatment, will certainly allow that patient to make the decision what they want to do. But then that abortion can be performed here in Idaho. So that patient may very well be treated by their own doctor with their family and their support system close at hand and without any further travel.
So Peg, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe what it's been almost a year since there was this injunction where this could not have happened, what you just explained, in Idaho. And what did that then mean for patients? And what I mean by that is, if they couldn't get that care, what happened? And because we do have cases of what exactly happened.
Right. Well, actually, so the injunction that we are currently under was in place starting in August of 2022, and then it was lifted on January 5th of 2024. So from January 5th to yesterday, we were not able to provide that stabilizing treatment to protect a pregnant patient's health in Idaho. That would have violated Idaho's law that only allows an abortion to prevent the death. Now, I am presuming in that the recommended medical treatment for the complication at issue was abortion. So in that time period from January 5th until yesterday, when that recommended treatment is abortion to protect the patient's health, physicians had that conversation with patients. And in six instances, those patients made the decision to proceed with abortion care services out of state. And for those six cases, they were transferred from, and this, I'm speaking only of St. Luke's, they
right.
were transferred out of state for those services.
So Peg, what does this mean for doctors in our state now?
Well, I think this is a, there's a sigh of relief that patients who are in these emergent situations that threaten their health are going to be able to get the treatment at home meaning in Idaho with their support system around them, that doctors are going to be able to provide the care and treatment that they were trained to provide for those patients without any delay. So I think there is some relief, but I would be remiss if I didn't emphasize that this only applies in emergency situations. So there will be situations where a patient's health does not rise to that emergency medical condition. However, the recommended care to protect their health is abortion, and Idaho's law will not allow that. And so there will still be cases where patients will have to be transferred or patients will make the decision to go out of state to receive the care that they need.
So I want to talk a little bit about some of the justices' opinions that were written yesterday, in particular, Ketanji Brown Jackson. She wrote in her opinion basically about the Idaho's argument when they went in front of the U.S. Supreme Court was abortion is not stated in EMTALA. So therefore, since it is not stated, then it doesn't mean it's part of EMTALA. In Justice Jackson's opinion, one of the things she wrote was, well, neither are things like blood transfusions or mechanical ventilation or I think she said defibrillators. So I'm curious from a legal standpoint, how that could potentially impact this case moving forward at the lower courts. It just struck to me thinking, well, then do we have to put every single possibility of what emergency care would look like, because there's, I don't know how you do that.
Actually, I thought Justice Jackson's opinion really was spot on. No, EMTALA does not mention abortion, nor does it mention any other specific health care or treatment. And really what EMTALA does is it gives some guidelines, but trusts the physicians to make the determination whether or not the patient has the symptoms that rise to the level of placing their health in serious jeopardy or would seriously impair bodily functions or bodily organs. Those are the parameters that are provided in EMTALA. Obviously, when EMTALA was written and passed, it was Congress never intended them to list every single condition. It was a law that said, okay, in these circumstances, physicians must make that determination. And then physicians will also be making the determination of what medical treatment is the appropriate standard of care to address that condition. So I think she was absolutely right. No, abortion is not mentioned, but neither is any other treatment mentioned in EMTALA.
And also in her opinion, she was very clear every time she wrote about abortion care being needed in these emergency situations, she would always put in parentheses, in very rare cases. And I am wondering if that is, you know, part of this argument, or almost maybe misinformation in a sense, that there is this assumption that women are going to emergency rooms wanting an abortion, and hey, EMTALA allows doctors to do this, instead of truly these very rare cases where really in order to make sure the health of the mother is okay, and that she, you know, keeps her fertility, keeps her organs, etc., the standard of care does need to be, unfortunately, abortion care.
Yeah, you know, I think the idea that someone could just go to an emergency room and request an abortion is absurd. When someone presents to an emergency room, they're there to seek treatment for a condition that has to rise to this level of emergency for physicians to provide treatment. So, and physicians are going to treat the condition presented. I guess I'm circling back to the notion that these physicians are well-trained and have an enormous amount of experience, and we need to trust them to do the assessment and recommend the treatment to address the condition presented. So Justice Jackson is correct that it is not a common occurrence for a pregnant patient with complications to present to an emergency room and the recommended treatment is abortion. It is rare, but it is something that does happen, and we have physicians trained and able to provide that care right here in Idaho.
Is the U.S. Supreme Court's non-decision yesterday the decision you would have hoped for?
Well, no. I think it would have been more reassuring for them to have decided this question whether or not the federal law preempts state law. The fact that they didn't, like I said, and the fact that they dissolved the stay on the injunction, it certainly does provide some relief. But we are still in a situation where we don't know how that ultimate question will be resolved. And I think it's important to note that also, regardless of how this decision turned out, at the U.S. Supreme Court, Idaho's law is still extremely restrictive and does not address situations where the pregnant patient's health is in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And so there's further work that needs to be done to address that category of patients who are at risk under Idaho's law.
With that said, Peg, I want to go back to something you said, though, that this does give at least some relief. Are you holding on to that today moving forward? Because, you know, we are going to likely see this again in the Ninth Circuit.
Yes, we are holding on to it, and we're having, you know, discussions about what do workflows look like and how do we address this efficiently and how do we reassure patients. And I think that this will also help in our ability to retain physicians. Mm. And I don't know how it will help in the recruiting world, but I hope that it helps there also. It's tentative, but it's something, and we will take it because it does provide broader care opportunities for patients.
Well, Peg, as always, I so appreciate you making time for us. Really, really appreciate the conversation.
Gemma, I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for covering this important issue.
We've been speaking with Deputy General Counsel for St. Luke's Health System about how Thursday's U.S. Supreme Court decision on Idaho's abortion law will impact patients and doctors here in our state. We are now going to turn to the fact that the Idaho Attorney General did respond to yesterday's non-decision. Raul Labrador said he was disappointed by the ruling, but litigation on the matter should continue so Idaho's law is understood. Now, he says people are claiming that a woman has to be close to death to get an abortion in Idaho. And he says that's just not true. Let's take a listen.
Our law is really broad. Our law says that if a doctor in good faith believes that the woman's life is in jeopardy, and as the Supreme Court indicated, it doesn't have to be immediate. It has to be just in jeopardy. That they in good faith believe that this woman's life could be in jeopardy, they can terminate the pregnancy.
And we should note that Attorney General Labrador did hold a news conference with reporters yesterday. He continued also saying that the government's argument that EMTALA covers abortions in hospitals. He spoke about that. So let's listen.
EMTALA does not talk about abortion. This has been our argument all along, that EMTALA has nothing to do with abortion. EMTALA talks about saving the woman's life, and even talks about saving the unborn fetus's life. So that's why we have always been confused by the government's argument that EMTALA requires abortions in hospitals.
Labrador went on to say yesterday that if women were being airlifted out of state for care because of Idaho's law, well, he said he believes that was not necessary.
There was confusion. I think some of it was because of misunderstandings, but unfortunately, some of it was because of intentional misrepresentation of what our laws say, which the pro-abortion lawyers continue to do, is misrepresent what our abortion laws say.
In fact, he pushed back on the idea that doctors are leaving our state because of our abortion laws.
So this narrative that's out there that somehow doctors are not coming to Idaho, yes, some doctors are leaving. Why? Because they were making the vast majority of their money on abortions. Or they wanted to live in a place that allowed abortions. But there's a bunch of doctors that are coming to Idaho. So this narrative that's out there is completely false, and Idaho will always be the best place to live.
Attorney General Labrador did say that Idaho's abortion law is not hurting our state.
This little narrative that people have that Idaho is less attractive to people is just completely false. It might be less attractive to liberals who want to have abortions, but it's a very positive place for people to live.
As I mentioned, the Attorney General did make all of these comments during a news conference with reporters yesterday. And as always, our doors always open to the Attorney General to come on and have a conversation with us. We would really appreciate that when and if there is time for him to do that. Again, we have been talking today about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision yesterday in regards to EMTALA in the state of Idaho and how that impacts emergency abortion care when needed in times to save the health of the mother.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.